Join me at the prophet Isaiah chapter 38. The prophet Isaiah chapter 38. The prophet Isaiah chapter 38. I want to begin the reading at verse 2. You can find this same text in 2 Kings 20, 1 through 6, but I want to use Isaiah the prophet chapter 38. Reading from verses 2 through 6. The word of the Lord reads in this way in the Old Testament scripture. When Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. Then this message came to Isaiah from the Lord. Go back to Hezekiah and tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will defend this city. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. If you don't mind, I'm dealing with a series entitled Your Destiny is in God's Hands. This one is subtitled, It's Not Over Yet. Tell somebody, it's not over yet. Come on, tell somebody else, it's not over yet. Joyce Myers, in her book entitled Get Your Hopes Up, uses a story about a young baseball player who's a part of a team. And for illustrative purposes, I'd like to embellish it this morning and tailor it to my own needs for this sermon. And so there's this young baseball team who has been very faithful in coming to practice every single day of the week. After school, the young players would show up with exuberance and excitement, ready to exercise and to learn how to play the game so that eventually when the season began, they would be able to defend themselves appropriately. They practiced, they were committed, they were faithful day after day. The coach was proud of them and excited about their exuberance, how they would show up during the rain, show up through an inclement weather, show up when it was hot, show up when it was misty. They just were in this process of learning how to win. One day, the season started, and they're in this game. And as the game began, the other team came up first. There was a gentleman who showed up. He would watch them during their practice. And he showed up for the game. And when he looked up at the score, it was halfway through the first inning, and they were losing 20-0. He looks over through the gate, finds one of the little boys, and says to the little boy, what happened? You guys practiced so committed. You showed up in the rain and showed up in the heat and showed up when you didn't feel like it. You were committed. What happened? You're getting demolished. Brothers and sisters, that's what life is like sometimes. Though you're in it, you've been faithful, you've been committed, you've showed up in inclement weather, you've given life your best, and life has responded in such a way that you have found yourself getting demolished. You'll tell somebody it ain't over yet. So here he is, wondering, how in the world Can this team be so committed and still be losing in such a way? They look so good out on the practice field, put their gloves down, went through the skill sets, and went to the batting cage, and yet they're down 20 to zip. Sometimes that's how life can feel for us. The text today informs us about a young king, known as the 13th king of Judah, Hezekiah, who came to the throne after his father Ahaz. Second Chronicles records he was 25 years old when he came to the throne. He reigned in Jerusalem some 29 years, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. It is stated of his character that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father David had done. His resume, or his CV, was complimentary. It was extraordinary, because he was known as the king of reform. The age of reformation, he opened the doors of the temple of the Lord and led the people to repair them. He brought the priests and the Levites together and assembled them in the square, called them to consecrate themselves and the temple of the Lord. He helped remove all of the defiling objects of worship that were idols that they had set up in the sanctuary when God had already told them, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He reformed the people. He led them by destroying the bronze snake Moses was instructed by the Lord to make in order to save the people while they were in the wilderness experience complaining. And through their complaint, through the healing of this snake that Moses has held up and said, "So as you look upon this snake, you shall be healed." And the New Testament prophetic scripture says, "So as Moses held up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." But they made this a god. And now Hezekiah led them into removing all of these idols. King Hezekiah's main objective was to regain the nation of Judah's independence and power that his father, King Ahaz, had compromised by willingly surrendering to his enemies. King Hezekiah knew that God was the ultimate sovereign power over the kingdom of Judah and that they were never supposed to be under the rule of anyone else but God. We find King Hezekiah in the text having completed all of this. What an awesome resume, right? To bring the people back to God. To bring them back to God. Oddly enough, the Bible says that this king, who is noted as only one among what is believed to be eight kings of Judah who served God, Yahweh. It is believed the other 20 kings were wicked and led Judah through improper alliances and worship of idol gods. It was soon after this revival, that King Hezekiah came to learn that he was stricken ill and would not recover. I need y'all to get this. The Bible says the prophet in verse 1 came to visit him and informed him to get his affairs in order, for he was getting ready to leave this place. And the word that came to him is that he would not get through this situation. Know how you feel if you've ever been there when you felt like life has literally destroyed you in the first inning. And you will not recover from it. First thing we ought to know from the text is that there was a reform, there was a revival, and the people of God were renewed. Have you ever noticed whenever it appears God moves to bring about renewal and restoration and revival and brings you to a high point that the enemy is always waiting to unveil some opposing situation? Remember, if you will, every time it appears in the Bible, one of God's prophets, prophetesses, got to a place where they felt like things were going smooth, the enemy always brought some kind of opposition. Sometimes it's not the enemy. Sometimes it's just trials that we've got to go through to help develop us. But no matter what, somebody needs to know that you will recover from this. As I think about some of the other prophets, it was after Elijah defeated the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the false god Asherah. He had victory. It was after that that Jezebel threatened him, and as a result, he fell into a deep depression and felt that he would not recover.
It was after Jeremiah stood in the temple gate, preached the word of God, brought revival and renewal to all coming and going until he was grabbed, beaten, and put in a cistern, that he said, I will never speak God's name anymore. And he thought he would never recover. It was after Job, who was considered a just and upright man, renewal, that God bragged on him and gave permission for the devil to touch his family and his body, that he says, I wish I had never been born. Thought he would never recover. Have you ever been there? Every single time, God, I seem like I get one foot in front of the other. I got to take two steps back. Maybe somebody in 2015 has gotten to that place where they felt like I just about made it. And soon as you think you made it, some letter comes in the mail. Some phone call comes to you. Just when you think everything is going well, the enemy shows up in your finances. Shows up in your relationship. All of a sudden, the boss is acting funny. The wife is acting strange. Your money has disappeared. Your children are going crazy. You're wondering, God, what in the world is going on? As a matter of fact, let's just be honest. We say, Lord, what the hell is going on? Can we talk? Lord, I'm a child of yours, God. I don't know what happened, what I ended up doing so that something could happen to me like this in my life. Why in the world? I haven't even got out the first inning, and I'm losing already. See, brothers and sisters, these are just a few, but there's somebody here this morning who might have experienced some great proverbial heights of God's blessings, and now things are not the same, and you feel that you will not recover. Got some good news for you. It ain't all gloom and doom. I want you to tell somebody you will get through this. You're only in the first inning. You will get out of this thing. You're going to make it. Now here's a lesson in the text. It says that the king immediately, here's something, brothers and sisters, that's going to help us get through this today. It says he immediately turned his face to the wall and began to pray. Somebody ought to know that the way you're going to get through this is the same way you got through it the last time you went through some mess. Have I got a witness in the building that the last time I had to face some problems, the last time I had to go through some situation, I didn't call my friends because my friends were going through some mess. I didn't call my neighbors because they were not available. I didn't call the church members because church members can act funny sometimes. I didn't call the deacons because they're busy doing whatever they do. I didn't call the officer of the church. I didn't even call the pastor. But I'll tell you what I did. I began to think about repetition. You remember that old song, I prayed and I prayed. I prayed all night long. I prayed and I prayed until I found the Lord. I cried and I cried. I cried all night long. Do I have a witness in the building? I cried and I cried until I found the Lord. All I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, is that repetition works. In other words, he did what he was accustomed to doing. You ought not to just pray during bad times. But you've got to pray during good times so that when the bad times come, the same God knows the voice that he heard when it was good times, he hears it in the bad times. The same voice he heard in the good times, he hears in the bad times. And the same voice he heard in the bad times, he hears in the good. God wants to hear from you. How many of you know prayer changes things? Hey, matter of fact, let me shift just a little bit. Prayer changes you, and you change things. That's what I like about it. You know why you change things? Because prayer changes your perception. Prayer changes how you look at it. Prayer says my left pocket is empty, but my right pocket is about to get some money. That's what prayer will do for you. I find when we are faced with moments of anxiety, most of us will do what we're accustomed to doing. This is why repetition is so important, because if you're accustomed to doing some things, you'll do what you're accustomed to doing. So if you're accustomed to gossiping, instead of praying, you'll start gossiping. If you're accustomed to talking about folk, instead of praying, you'll talk about folk. If you're accustomed to complaining, you'll complain. But if you're accustomed to thanking God, Lord, in all things, I learned how to be content. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The text says he prayed and seemed to recall that just in chapter 37 of Isaiah, verse 14, when the Israelites were almost under the siege by the Assyrians, Hezekiah, after reading a letter sent to him by the king of Assyria, formed him to surrender to his enemies. This is what he remembers. He prayed to the Lord then, and the Lord responded to his prayer. Repetition. The next thing Hezekiah did while he was in prayer was to bring the Lord back to remembrance. Yeah, listen what the text says. Remember, Lord, how I walked with you. Remember, Lord, how I got up every morning and had devotion with you. Do you remember, God, how I got on my knees and called on your name, God? It's me, Lord. Sometimes you got to remind God, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me, God. I'm going through it. I prayed for so many other people. Remember, Job got up every morning praying for his children in case they sinned. It didn't say when they sinned. It said just in case they fell into sin, he prayed for them. And when his time came, God remembered what Job had done. Here's Hezekiah, got some bad news, and all of us in here have gotten some bad news at least once in our lifetime. Matter of fact, somebody sitting in here right now is experiencing some travail, despair, and discouragement. It's 2015. It's a few days from the end of the year, and nothing has changed for you. I've got some good news. I've got some good news for you. Tell somebody, I've got some good news for you. It ain't over yet. God can turn that situation around in just a few more days. I'm telling you, you ain't got to deal with the same mess in 2016 that you dealt with in 2015 if you told the Lord all about it. Well, I got to get ready to end this thing, but it's how we walk that will get God's attention. The Bible states that I walk with a singleness of mind. Romans 15 and 16 reminds us that we must be of one mind, one mouth, glorify God. He said, God, I was faithful. I was wholehearted. In other words, God, I was constant. I didn't waver. I trusted you, Lord. Sometimes you got to fuss at God. Yeah, I know what they told us when we grew up Baptist. Don't complain to the Lord. Don't. But if you don't tell God, who are you going to tell? What good is it to sing the song, I must tell Jesus all of my troubles, all of my trials? What good is it to sing it if you ain't going to tell him? And sometimes I don't have time to try to be proper with God. Sometimes I got such a good relationship, I just got to have to tell him, Lord, you know what I'm going through. I don't understand it. You're supposed to be in charge. Lord, this is crazy. I'm going through some crazy stuff right now. And God, if you don't fix this, nobody can. Let me say this. When we are totally sold out for God, God responds. Here's the good news. So after the repetitions and after the reminder, the Bible says, here's the good news, God will respond. How many of you know God will respond? Well, let's see. The text says, God says that I saw your tears. And the text says, God heard your prayer. Can I stop right there? Because that's a preacher. Y'all ought to be shouting right now. God says, I saw your tears and I heard your prayer. Yeah. Somebody else can't see you, but God sees you. Somebody else ain't going to hear you, but God will always hear you. God said it. Can I just stop here and just have a short praise break? Because is there anybody here in Mount Olive this morning that knows that God sees you and responded to you? Have you ever gone through something in your life before and know that God saw you, God heard you, God responded to you? Psalm 33:13 says, the Lord looks down from heaven and sees us. I'm glad God sees me. See, folk in the church don't really see you. They see what you look like when you come to church. They see the suits and the dresses and the hats. Yeah, they see, but God sees you when you're home crying and when you're home angry and when you're home frustrated and when you're on your job angry. God sees you. God knows when you want to throw in the proverbial white towel. God knows when you don't want to come to church anymore because church folk act crazy. God knows when you don't want to get up in the morning. God sees you. But I'm so glad he sees me. Because when he sees me, he responds to me. Can I say this? Not only will he respond, God will give you just what you need. Got to give it to you. Well, I got to shut this down now. The text says that he responded to Hezekiah. Now, here's the good news. The Bible says that before the prophet even left the area, God spoke to him and said, turn around. You gave him bad news, but while you were walking, I heard him praying and I saw his circumstance. And even though it is said that I cannot change my mind, but because I'm a sovereign God and I can do whatever I want to, when I want to, how I want to, I desire to change how this situation is going to play itself out. You see, he thought today was going to be over. He thought his affairs needed to be set in order. But because he petitioned me, isn't that what we heard earlier in Philippians? It says that be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, make your request be known unto God. And the God of peace, that's what I like about him. I'm about ready to go now. But you got to know that when you call on the name of Jesus, is there anybody who knows who Jesus is? You see, you got to stop running to everybody and anybody and call on the name of Jesus, the one that can really do something about your problem. When you call on the name, the Holy Spirit takes it right to the presence of the Father, and the Father, he changes things on your behalf. That's why I needed to tell somebody today, you're going to get through this thing. I don't care what they said, you're going to get through it. Well, I got to get back to my baseball team. It's 20 to zip. They're getting demolished and destroyed. The little boy turns to the man and says, mister, there's only one problem with your statement. The man says, what? He said, we haven't gotten up to bat yet. You missed it. You missed it. They are batting now, but we haven't gotten up to bat yet. In other words, we're going to win this thing. I don't care what the score is, because we were faithful, because we were committed, and because we practice, we know when we get up, I don't care if we win 21 to 20, the inning ain't over until we get up to bat. Somebody in here needs to tell the enemy, that the inning is not over because I haven't gotten up to bat yet. And when I get up and I grab my bat, it's over for the enemy. It's over for the, throw your best fastball, throw your best knuckleball, throw your best curveball, because the God I serve is able. How many of you know he's able? Hallelujah. He's able. Not only is he able to even the score, but he's able to put me ahead of the enemy. That's why he says, and David says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But I'm so glad
that they tried to devour me. But look at me now. They prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. But look at me now. And he ends it by saying, surely goodness and mercy. In other words, it started off one way, but look how it's going to end up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because in the middle of that, you anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And I'm so glad today, Mount Olive, that when he anoints me, he sets me up in front of the enemy. And it doesn't matter what the enemy says. God will. Yes, he will. God will. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. It's not over yet, because I haven't gotten up the bat. But when I get up, I've got God on my side. Well, it's so good, because I'd rather have the whole world against me and God on my side. Is there anybody here who knows it ain't over yet? Don't worry about 2015. You're here. And as long as you're here and you know the Lord, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.